Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 12, he makes a statement. It wasn't on the reading this morning because it wasn't in the lectionary for today, but I include it. Verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. And it goes on to say in verse 12, saying, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members are the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ, for in the one spirit we are baptised into one body. And Luke, the reading from Luke this morning, has Jesus opening the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. I wonder if you've ever considered how amazing the human body really is. I mean, truly, how could anyone ever believe that it's the product of chance? Just listen to this. The stomach digestive acids are strong enough to dissolve zinc. Fortunately for us, the cells in the stomach lining renew so quickly that the acid doesn't have time to dissolve it. The lungs contain over 300,000 million capillaries, tiny blood vessels. If they were laid end to end, they would stretch 2,400 kilometres. Human bone is as strong as granite in supporting weight. A block of bone the size of a matchbox could support 9 tonnes. That is four times as much as concrete can support. Each kidney contains 1 million individual filters. They filter an average of around 1.3 litres of blood per minute and expel up to 1.4 litres a day in urine. The focus muscles of the eye move around 100,000 times a day. And to give your leg muscles the same workout, you would need to walk 80 kilometres every day. Everything in our body works together by design and for a purpose. And it's no wonder that Paul chose to use the human body as an illustration of how the church, the body of Christ, ought to function. God designed the church to function much like the human body. It is comprised of many different parts, yet those parts are united into one body. If a part is missing, we are handicapped. We cannot do the things we want to do. A church working together as one body is a work of the Spirit of God. Isaiah's message was for his own time, his own day. It concerned no one but himself and his hearers. Yet centuries later, Jesus decided to quote this text, take possession of it, and apply it to himself. It is, he claims, as true for him as it was for the prophet Isaiah, as true for us as it was for Christ. Nearly every biblical scholar worth his or her salt will tell you that in reading and interpreting these words from Isaiah, Jesus is stating his mission, and it is for us to follow his example so we can fulfill his mission here on earth. The prophet Isaiah, the author of those words that Jesus read in the synagogue, would have been amazed to hear his words taken up by Jesus and made applicable to us today as a model of Christian ministry. All that Jesus did was infused with the dynamic of God's Spirit. Jesus set the agenda for the church. We are called to announce the grace of God today and to display it as Jesus did in acts of love and kindness. We're into a new year, and as Christ's body in this place, perhaps we are or should be asking ourselves and God, how in this new year can I use my spiritual gifts in this place, in our community? Being the body of Christ holds two factors: working the body together for the benefit of the whole, and being empowered by the Holy Spirit that God has blessed us with in the form of our spiritual gifts. It's only then that we can claim to be one body. However, let me say that for all our claims, There are many people on the edge of the church, the edge of society, those that are marginalised, poor and oppressed, and the blind, who cannot say likewise. They see God as a shadowy background figure. For them, the hiddenness or absence of God in their lives or in others they encounter is a very real experience. It was Jesus' practice to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He never failed to connect himself with the people of God, to worship with them on God's day. But on other days, he was putting into action his ministry in the community. We can't for one moment think that because we sit in church on a Sunday week after week, that we are God's chosen people. This is history's fatal error, which Jesus came to abolish. We must work out of the church into community and seek and find those God leads us to. This is the work of Jesus, and this is his charge to us. Let us not allow our relationship with the Lord to be one of just meeting here on a Sunday. Instead, follow Jesus' command, which is in the threads that weaves through the gospel. Fish for men, sow the seeds, seek out the needy, care for the widows and orphans, release the captives, and help the blind to see. The people I minister to are God's blessing to me. In my ministry in the community, where I encounter abandonment, hiddenness, loneliness, and suffering, I find God at work. And you know, even though we may have a strong faith and a solid relationship with God, I believe that he maintains us in that relationship by granting us moments of particular importance, of particular intensity, reassurance that God is there, that God is with us, which I call leaps of faith or blessings. While the ultimate goal of a Christian life is to strive for salvation, we cannot be self-centred in this. I think about your role here in your church as part of the body of Christ. As we read the words of Paul to the Corinthians and the gospel today and reflect on the fact that we are ordinary people in our own faith communities, we shouldn't think, but what could I do? When we ask ourselves that question, we should look to Jesus. He was the son of a tradesman, a carpenter who led the day-to-day life of an ordinary person until he received the power of the Holy Spirit into his life, and it was at that point that his ministry began. God has placed you and me, this congregation, on this plot of land, in this building at number 89 Dexter Street, Cook, in this very time in history, for a very special reason. We are here to be the body of Christ. We are here to be Christ in this community. We are to reflect God's light and love to those around us, and the homes which surround this building could be filled with people who are suffering, lonely, lost, poor in spirit, prisoners to their way of life, and addictions, and unable to see any way out of this mess they are in. We are the body of Christ here, and each one of us has a part to play. I wonder if we really know how significant that statement is. Can we ever try to get our heads around the words and what's behind them when it says we are the body of Christ? That's you and that's me. For encouragement and affirmation, look at what has been achieved in our parish and in the community. Achievements that we could not do alone, but achievements that have been done through the power, through the unity, and under the power of the Holy Spirit. In the past couple of Sundays, we've been drawing your attention to some of the needs for our faith community that enables the body to function together as a whole, but some of the parts are missing. For example, we need a new parish administrator. Do you think you have the time and the gifts for that role? Serving others through the morning teas here at church, which we all know we love to have following a service as we catch up and chat. Perhaps you could bless us by your presence in the sanctuary and the reading of scripture. There are quite a few more parts of our body still missing, and perhaps you've seen and filled in the yellow slip. I truly believe that the Spirit of God is moving in this place. I can feel it, and I wonder, can you feel it too? Just take a look at all that goes on here. Let's not be pulled down by those in the wider church who have gone astray and wandered off the path of light. Have you looked at the space the youth group has made? A space of ambience, of peace, of meeting, of prayer in that lovely space, and so available to those passing by who I suspect may at some stage tarry there alone to seek more for their life as they walk home from the shops. The youth group and their leaders have used their God-given gifts for the encouragement and benefit of the body of Christ. Have you seen the community garden behind the Rainbow Centre that has been put together by those who saw the vision, the way to serve others, and through hard labour and a sense of being moved by the Spirit, have created that special space for the body of the church to draw closer in its unity of gifts and provided that God-allotted space for the good of us all? Have you ever come to look and to see how Covenant Care operates, how it is to see this place here, filled on a Monday with the love of God and the movement of the Spirit as we serve those with some of the greatest needs in our community and give their carer a day's break? I wonder, perhaps, have you felt God nudging you to use your gifts of love, of compassion, of hospitality, of deep caring to be this part of the body of Christ, to love those so isolated from society in their pain and endurance in their illness, and how much Covenant Care so embraces the words of Christ. Not everyone can embrace the clients at Covenant Care. They may find it challenging. But you don't have to embrace the whole day. We're in need of people to drive the clients to Covenant Care, thus giving their carer the opportunity to not even get out of their pyjamas if that is how they want to relax in their day, as we care for their person with the registered nurse and the wonderful volunteers. I wonder, can 2019 be a year of slowing down your pace, of more time for family and for friends, for strangers, relaxing and serving Christ in this place and in our community? I wonder, can we make it a year of personal spiritual reform and godly spirit-filled? Can we make this year a marker for our paths going forward? Pray and pray without ceasing to be led into 2019 by God's love and his grace, hand in hand with the powering of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you are feeling the need for more spiritual growth and deeper relationships with God, and how that would really strengthen the body of Christ here as well as yourself. There is the monastery of the heart, known as Moth. There is meditation. There is yoga. Perhaps we all need to revisit our own spiritual life so we can be the better Christ-giving persons. There's a spirituality and pastoral care course coming up very soon to give us the tools to do this. Perhaps your gifts lie in nurturing children and youth into the faith and relationship with Christ for their way through life, a way that will sustain them through all life, what all life will throw at them. In that group, there is support to mothers and toddlers and babies through the playgroup to them from out of the community. I can walk into this space after a yoga group or a meditation group has been in here, and there is silence. There is a peace. There is a sense of the Spirit, and it's so moving that I just want to sit a while and breathe it in. Sometimes in this space, I can feel the grief and pain and tears of someone who has called by for a shoulder to lean on and an ear to listen. Any church that has a strong body, a strong vision of what God requires of us, and shows they are outward looking and inclusive, is going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, because it's seeing what the mission of Jesus is and engaging in the community. And it's here that we have a balance of Christ's love. I don't think this is something to boast about, but with true humility, we can see the blessings that flow when we seek Christ's will and desire to love and serve him and our neighbours. I would like nothing more than for all of us to be built up so we can carry on the mission Because if we are not, then where does that leave us? Sunday only worshippers of the word and sacrament, and we leave Jesus behind as we go out the door. Sometimes we are blind to the needs of others or flat-strapped in our busy lives to even see their cry for help. Perhaps hearing these words today may have left you feeling uncertain what your gifts are. If so, can I encourage you to speak to one of the clergy or a spiritual director? And are we not so blessed to have them here amongst us? I want to say, come, Lord Jesus, come and fill our hearts with your desire. Come and make us in this place people not only filled with the Holy Spirit that was placed upon us at our baptism, but people filled with the burning desire to love and serve as one body to such a degree that we see your life reflected not only through ourselves but through those who are in greater need of Jesus with skin on. Can we ever really get our heads around Paul's Christ-given brilliant interpretation of what it is to be the body of Christ? It's a huge responsibility. It's a staggering challenge and the greatest privilege that humankind could ever know. It's a true gift and it's a true honour. To squander it and keep it to ourselves would be to throw away the greatest treasure ever available to us. And can I encourage us all to just listen? Listen for that still small voice and what it is saying about you being the body of Christ in this place. Amen.